Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Tell me more about this college-edged cousin of yours. Is he available? Yes and no. Kelly, he's really not your type. What's that supposed to mean? Nothing. Wait a second. Is he that guy in the picture over your fireplace? That gorgeous stud wearing that little red bathing suit? Kelly, control yourself.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode is Season 2, Episode 11, Leading from the Heart. And now, here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Announcements, Dave?
No, we're good.
All right. Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
This one is a real embarrassing one for everyone involved, so let's just get into it. I will say, for an episode that's almost entirely the A-plot, there is a lot of, like, shit thrown in just because they had to lay groundwork for future episodes, but we can skip over it mostly, I think.
Yes.
So let's start with...
Please do that.
The D story. D in every sense of the word, which is David's got the hots for Donna. He invites her to a movie. She's friendly and receptive, but she has a dinner at Brenda's that night. He's not invited, even though he was over at the Walsh's house with the Ashes like two episodes ago, but whatever. She asks for a rain check and then later tries to get him added as a plus one for this dinner, but Brenda is weird about it for reasons that we will find out, and also Kelly bugs her about dating David, and Donna has to deny that they're dating. Brenda does not invite him along, so he's still really on the fringes of the group. Moving on, C story. Emily joins the paper. Emily Valentine has not died. She's back.
She has dyed her hair a much whiter shade of blonde.
It is much whiter, for sure. She's now in journalism class, which means she has to be on the paper. Brandon, because he has the hots for her, tries to get her added to the sports beat, even though nothing about her indicates she would have any interest in sports. Andrea is instantly jealous of Emily, schemes to keep her and Brandon apart. Moving on, that's really all that happens. Okay.
Yeah.
B story, Brenda's driving test. Again. Some old people sneak into the B-roll before we get to, and the band girl is back, by the way, before we hear from Brandon when he's talking to Emily that he has to take Brenda to her for her driving test that night, her after school. Her problem is parallel parking, and then we cut over to Brenda, who says she's been having nightmares about the test, so great, good start. And then we're at the DMV where we see that Brandon very trustingly let Brenda use his car to take the driving test, which is a weird
choice. They would never allow that.
I think they wouldn't. Also, I would think if it's a classic car, like he keeps reminding us it is boringly, that it's probably not an automatic, which like that would make it way harder to take a driving test, I would think, but whatever.
Yeah, plus if it doesn't have the pull brake. Mm-hmm. Like I took my driving test around this time. Like you had to take the test. We had to borrow one from the driving school for me to take my test in because it didn't have the emergency brake in the seat well where the instructor could. My parents' car didn't have that, so it was like the foot release. So anyway, more you know about New Jersey driving tests in 1990. Anyway, sorry.
So we catch back up with Brenda. She's apparently already been out on the road. If it's anything like Dave's driving test that he had to take, the actual road part is extremely perfunctory.
In California?
Yeah.
Yeah. It literally lasted 2 minutes.
Yeah.
We went around the block
in
Santa Monica, and that was it.
Mm-hmm. So they were pulling back into the parking lot at the DMV where Brenda is going to have to do the part that she's been dreading, and her instructor, as I probably won't need to tell you as soon as you hear it, or rather the tester, is of Chinese heritage, and embarrassingly, this is what happens in clip number 2.
Now parallel park.
I blow this every time.
Your eyes open. Visualize the vehicle. trust your hands on the wheel. Be like a snake.
No!
Slithering across the ground.
Snake.
Oh, no, that was so many... Carfuscius say, drive
this
like
entire
snake.
Plot, that's the first time I'm hearing this, and I am, even for this show, shocked.
Come on, give it up for Carfuscius.
Yeah, this is pretty good.
Do for sure on that one. Wow, that was terrible. That was worse than the first go-around and with all this on this show.
Yeah, with the dim sum.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's not good.
Oh.
And this is the 90s. Like, there's no excuse for this. There never was any excuse for this, but it's not like it was 1962. Like, it's really embarrassing.
Wow.
This poor woman.
Yeah.
Anyway, Brenda passes, and then back at the Walsh house, she recaps the story of her parking triumph while she's eating dinner still in her blazer like a weirdo. Cindy is throwing a congratulations party, which kind of seems like overkill. And then she has one more question in clip number 3.
Now, one question still remains. Dad, since you did help Brandon buy his car, I assume that we're going to share it.
Survey says... Sorry, Brenda, the correct answer is Dad did not help me buy my car. He merely helped me repair it.
Brandon, I can't totally be without wheels.
I'll get it.
Hey, if you want a car, get a job. Yeah, that's the American way.
Brandon, I don't think it's up to you.
Does this have to be decided tonight?
Oh, I have so many comments on this, but Sarah, why don't you go first?
It should have been decided like 5 years ago. Make your shiftless bitch daughter get a goddamn job.
Thank you. I hate it when anyone makes me agree with Brandon, but he is right about this. If she wants a car, she should get a job. Go back to the fucking the peach pit, be Lavoine again. You obviously were good at that. Or babysit or something. But like, how much they never make her get a job on the show is like a constant source of annoyance for me.
Yeah.
I was thinking about saving up for a T-Bird, but instead, because I don't have as much money, I have to go
Stop
for an
it.
Oldsmobile.
Stop it.
Well, Oldsmobile is a very good car.
Much it's, better. Thank you. It's
anyway.
Oldsmobile.
Jesus.
This comes up again later in the episode. Brenda keeps like getting offered chances to drive herself places and declining. Even Andrea knows that Brenda is terrible at driving because she's offered a lift and then says she'll take the bus instead, which from the Valley is like a 5-hour prospect. But anyway, it finally ends with Bobby, who we will meet in a second, wanting Brenda to drive into the airport, and then she can't even pull out of the driveway. Comedy! Speaking of Bobby, let's move on to the A story, because it's really the meat of the episode. The gang meets a wheelchair user. So we heard in the previous clip, the phone ringing. That was the sound of the A plot arriving, because cousin Bobby is coming to visit. He might transfer to UCLA. Shouldn't Jim and Cindy discuss that? But why? I guess I already gave it away with the wheelchair user. They really hide the reveal of what Bobby's deal is for a long time. And in the visual aids, I just have this marked in my notes. Sarah cut the picture of Brenda in her checked vest with monocle around the neck. And I actually have it in my notes, cute vest pendant outfit, because I do think that's pretty cute. I'm sorry.
The vest, okay, but the monocle?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Right. I mean, it's standard for the time. It's not offensive compared to what some other people are wearing later and what people in that shot are wearing. Like, there's some extra on the left side whose hair is just, it's been permed like 70 times and it just looks like steel wool, basically. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. And at least it is a monocle, but she doesn't wear it in her defense.
Well, true.
It's not that much of a Heather's ripoff. You know.
And it's not in like the pocket watch pocket.
Right.
It's not that bad. Yeah.
No, anyway. It's not a steampunk look. Anyway, so as we heard in the clip up top, Kelly is interested in Bobby's sight unseen except for his photo. And when Brenda and Brandon drive home, they discuss whether they abandoned Bobby when they moved and how he cried when they left and blah, blah, blah. And then Bobby literally rolls into the scene because Bobby uses a wheelchair. He and Jim were playing basketball when the kids came home. There's manly hugs. And then we find out how far the inappropriate comments happened in the Walsh family in clip number 4.
Oh, my God. Brenda, you look so gorgeous. And I'm not just saying it this time.
Oh.
It's a real woman.
Bobby, stop it. You know that you are worse than ever.
I'm telling you, Brent, if we weren't first cousins.
I mean, but you are.
Yeah.
Like, this is gross.
You are.
This is not
a real woman? What does that even mean?
She has boobs, I assume.
Oh.
Yeah, it's gross.
Don't be such a squeef.
I don't know why that's supposed to be endearing, but it's a really weird thing for him to say in, like, his very first scene or ever. Anyway.
If I may interrupt for a moment.
Please.
In our previous episode, which y'all may or may not have listened to, about the unauthorized story, I mentioned
yes.
that this actor and Jason Priestley might have been roommates. The actor's name is actually Gordon Curry.
Oh, okay.
So.
All right. Moving on.
The more you know.
There's chat later. They bring up again that Brandon sucks at surfing, which this keeps coming up. Like, why are they talking about something that he's bad at? Other than, like, no one is watching the show expecting Jason Priestley to be surfing.
Maybe they're starting a podcast.
Maybe. Anyway, there's mention of his female situation. He's like vague about Emily Valentine. Then Brandon wants to try and talk about the accident that obviously is the reason that Bobby's in a wheelchair now, but he dodges by taking his shirt off and Brandon lets him. And then upstairs, Cindy is overthinking this whole transfer thought in clip number 5.
What are the ramifications of Bobby attending UCLA next semester?
I don't know.
Well, isn't this something you should be talking with your brother about?
Cindy, Allen put me up for 2 years when I went to college.
It's just a big responsibility for us to take on. And of course, it's not one that we're going to turn our backs on. It just seems so sudden.
Well, Allen says he's getting pretty self-sufficient.
I look at him and I think, God, life is cruel and senseless. I mean, one minute he's this big strapping boy, can't sit still, and the next... he's a paraplegic. And I feel so bad for him, but... more than that, and this is what's driving me crazy, what I feel most is this gigantic sense of relief.
Why?
Because it's not Brandon sitting in that wheelchair. It could have been. Just as easily. Could have been.
Okay. Keeping in mind, she's like, but I guess it could have been Brenda, but who cares about her?
Right, exactly. She hardly uses her legs anyway. Yeah, I mean, I give Cindy credit for waiting until Bobby was not present to have these thoughts out loud. Like, you're allowed to have car talk in your marriage, and it doesn't always have to be okay. But, like, this is some pretty rude thinking about, you know, his situation.
Well, and also, it's, I mean, whatever, we'll get to this, but, like, why would he live with you?
Right.
Like, the ramifications are you have him over for family dinner sometimes.
Right. Let him come over and do his laundry. It's not that big a deal.
Not. Whatever.
Anyway, the next day, Bobby makes a huge breakfast. When some of the Walshes who actually live there come down, he asks them to reach down the juicer from a high shelf. So he's, like, pretty cheerful about what are obviously his physical limitations, which are he can't reach things on high shelves. But he's not, you know, self-pitying about it or whatever. Doesn't say it in a way that's, like, fake jokey or, and it's fine.
And is still not that much shorter than Brandon.
True. And later at school, Kelly asks what time she should come over for her Brenda got her driver's license celebration dinner. Brenda forgot that that was actually happening. And Kelly noses around about Bobby some more. So Brenda finally has to tell her the deal in clip number 6.
So I finally get to meet this dreamy cousin of yours. Kelly, there's something that you should know about Bobby. He is cute, and he is over 21. But 3 years ago, he got in an accident. And now he's paralyzed from the waist down.
Brenda, I'm sorry. Me too.
Look, he doesn't need your pity.
Shut up, Donna.
So if you're gonna act weird around him, just let's call the whole thing off right now.
Why would you even think that? Look, I just get a little overprotective about him sometimes. He used to date a girlfriend of mine back in Minnesota. And she dumped him right after the accident.
Oh no, she set off the rotten bitch alarm just by mentioning that little girl.
Can we talk about the timeline here, though?
Yeah.
Like, at best, like, over 21. Let's assume he's 21.
Okay.
So the accident happened 3 years ago.
Right.
So he's 18.
Yep.
Presuming that Brenda's girlfriends back in Minnesota were roughly the same age as her.
They would be 12.
At which time she was 13 or 14 tops.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fucking gross.
Yeah. I mean, maybe she had a girlfriend who was older, but like, still, you're right. Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
Hello, lawsuit.
Sorry.
So it's a good thing that Brenda mentions if you're going to be weird about him, because that's basically everything that's going to happen from here on out. Not just from Kelly, but from everybody, because this episode has to be an object lesson in how not to talk to people who have physical limitations, because yikes. But it starts out well enough. Kelly shows up at the house with her sex eyes on, and later the kids play charades, and Bobby is very flirty with Kelly. And when she finishes her turn, she sees that all the seats are gone, and this occurs, clip number 7.
Are you kidding? I'll crush you.
Try me.
Okay.
All right.
You're on good hands.
They're actually really cute together. They have nice chemistry.
I mean, I sort of liked this actor. I thought he was cute.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, until the bandana incident, which we'll will see in the visual aids, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
And he also borrowed a tank top from Steve. Like, dude, why even bother wearing a shirt? That's what's left of it.
Steve's not, which I didn't clip because barf. But much later, everyone else has left except for Kelly. Brandon and Bobby are telling camp stories until Bobby has to be like exaggerated yawn till Brenda and Brandon finally get the hint and leave. So Brenda, on her way out of the door, gives Kelly a significant look. And then yet another boner from Kelly in clip number 8.
Mind if I join you?
Can you?
Okay. He's referring to coming and sitting next to her on the couch, which, can you? Yes, of course he can. Like, he wouldn't suggest it if he couldn't. Why do you have to make things weird immediately? Kelly, listen to your instincts and don't say things like that.
Yeah.
Kelly makes conversation about his injury. It's actually not that awkward. And then he has a suggestion for what they all might do together in clip number 9.
Listen, have you ever ridden a horse?
Are you kidding? I love to ride. Yeah.
Really? I grew up on horses. Maybe we can look for a place to ride. I'm not sure there's got to be some stables around here.
You can still...
Kelly, I can still do a lot of things.
Are you a horse, Kelly?
So they kiss, and then she decides she has to go. There's a longing look at the door, and then we see that Brenda is sitting on the stage, on the stairs like a creep, listening to all of this.
Yeah, ew.
The next day...
Family.
I know. The next day, Brenda comes into Brandon's room and says she feels weird about Kelly and Bobby maybe getting together or something, and so Brandon decides to not take the "it's his problem" attitude that he was taking about Dylan in the last episode, and brings it up to Bobby in clip number 10.
Listen, Bobby, I know Kelly pretty well, and I just wouldn't want you to misunderstand anything here.
Like what? You think she's patronizing me? Let me tell you something, that was not a patronizing kiss I got before she left last night.
Go slow, that's all I'm saying.
Tell me what you're really thinking, Brandon. You don't think that Kelly could be serious about some guy in a wheelchair?
Stare, 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 stare. I left all that silence so you could hear how long Brandon stares at him, not answering, but answering yes. Because it's awkward.
Oh my God. Shut up, Brandon.
for real. So they go
Although this is so much better than what's to come.
Yeah, seriously. Oh my God. Okay, so they go to the stables. Everyone rides horses. Bobby is very comfortable on the horse.
Brandon isn't.
Takes off right away. Yeah, there's comedy.
Humor fails to ensue.
Brandon's horse is named Spitfire, which is a fitting nickname as it takes off and hates him as much as everybody else does. Kelly looks like a Ralph Lauren ad on her horse. She looks so good. Like, she's in this perfect, you can see in the visual aids, her hair is flying everywhere. She's in like a pristine white blouse and like brown riding pants and boots. She looks great. Dylan and Brenda awkwardly horse kiss each other, which don't make people do that. It never works. And Bobby and Kelly flirt some more, and she invites him to a party. And this is where the trouble starts that Brenda, oh my God, I'm so sorry, Sarah, that Sarah was referring to. Sorry. So he gets to the party where outside of it, there is a giant flight of stairs, and Bobby just sort of makes a stink face. This is where things kind of start to fall apart for Bobby as a character, because there's a lot of him being really passive aggressive and not just being like, you know what, I'm going to skip it. Do you guys mind dropping me off or whatever? A lot of times he could say things he does not say until it's too late, and he is kind of a pissy baby about it. But anyway, the guys in the gang heartily take control of the situation and carry him up the stairs, and he makes stink faces the whole way because he hates it. And inside, there's another step down from the foyer because this is the house of a million stairs, apparently. The host is... Oh, shit. I skipped a clip. This is some awkwardness of the guys being hearty and stupid in clip 11.
Okay, look out, party started. Shut up.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like, after this, like, when everyone's like, do you need anything? Okay, great, and takes off, like, I get the stink face, and here I especially get the stink face.
Yeah.
Because party started coming through. Shut up.
Like,
don't talk.
Right, just, you know, deal with the situation as it is. You don't have to make it seem like this is a super fun thing you're all engaging in. Like, everyone feels weird about it. Just get through it and get over it. But anyway, we find out the host is a guy that Kelly dated once, and it's Suits. It's one of the Suits from Suits. It's Gabriel Macht with super long blonde hair.
Wow.
Really looking cute, actually. Some girl trips and lands in Bobby's lap and spills her drink all over him. And then Bobby makes a stink face. And that guy who was the stoner dude and everything that aired in the 90s runs into Bobby and has a question in clip number 12.
Oh, what happened to you, man?
Nothing. I'm just real lazy.
That's pretty funny, man. You heard that dude in the wheelchair said to me?
When you see this guy in the visual aids, you'll be like, oh, that guy, because he was in everything. He's got really long, dark hair. You've seen him for sure. So after that happens, Bobby is pissy to Kelly about how glad he is to be out of high school with all its many idiots. And then Suits shows up and asks Kelly to dance. And Kelly's not sure what to do in clip 13.
Child, this is Bobby, a cousin of Brandon's.
How'd you get up those steps?
It wasn't easy.
Well, are you okay? Can I get you anything?
Actually, a cold beer would be nice right about now.
Sorry, bud, no alcohol. Last time we had beer, we ran into some problems, and my parents are pretty intense about that. So, want to dance?
I don't know.
Why not? Go ahead.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Sure.
Okay, don't, you know, whatever, but don't make him hold your purse. Like, don't treat him like a shelf. He's a guy.
Well, yeah. And also, like, if he's like, why not? First of all, don't say why not. It's obvious why not.
Yep.
Second of all, just be like, no thanks, maybe later. How hard is that?
Yeah.
Not. Oh, and by the way, I hope you like this dress on Kelly, because we see it at least one other time.
Yeah, it's a cute dress. It looks nice on her.
Yeah, including, and it's apparently very good for dancing, because she's, it's the Switch It Up
episode. Oh, okay.
Where Brandon's editorial saves all of Los Angeles.
Oh, no. God. Oh, we have so much horror to look forward to. Okay.
Oh my God, Brenda's outfit. Okay.
Yep.
Moving on.
Oh my God. So I gift a little bit of Bobby watching Kelly dance and making himself cry with self-pity because it's a little much. Finally, Steve rolls up to check in with Bobby. Bobby asks him to go and find Brandon so that he can leave. And then Kelly returns from dancing and things get even more awkward in clip 14.
Guess I'm not a fun person to go to a party with.
Can't do much but sit here.
That's not true.
Unless I get drunk and start doing wheelies.
Listen, Kelly, it was really great meeting you and everything. And there's probably a lot of things I haven't told you. Like how incredibly sexy I think you are. And how I love the way your body moves when you dance.
Ew.
So I'm just gonna say it all right now. So you can say, gee, Bobby, I really think you're nice. And I really like spending time with you and all, but I just don't like you in that way. So let's just save ourselves the grief, Kelly, because I know how these things work out.
Bobby, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about 2 weeks from now, or 6 months from now. A few more parties like this, and when the novelty wears off and you want to dance with your boyfriend.
Oh, Bobby. We started out so promisingly, and now I'm going to have to call rape culture on you, because Kelly doesn't owe you anything. Get over yourself.
Yeah, seriously. Also, that's a really self-defeating way of looking at things, just assuming that everyone's going to get sick of your shit, and actually, if this is your shit, they probably are.
Seriously.
And not for nothing, this is a handsome actor, mm-hmm. but when he's trying to, like, be, like, mad crying, it's not good.
It's not good.
Looks like he's trying to, like, have a poo that's a cube. It's not awesome at all.
Oh my God, that is one of the funniest phrases ever. Have a poo.
Have a
poo.
Brandon shows up and
having
says,
a cube poo.
Brandon reappears and says he's been looking for Bobby everywhere, which is hilarious because Bobby literally has not moved from the spot where he was parked when he made it up the stairs.
And can't because he is literally surrounded on all sides by stairs. Like,
yep.
So, where was he going to go? The ceiling? You're an idiot.
So Bobby asks Brandon just to help him down the stairs so he can go home. And gives Kelly a slightly dirty look, which makes Steve assume the worst. And he's all, nice work, Kel. And so the guys have to carry an even more humiliated Bobby downstairs. And then once he's gone, Brenda finds Kelly to yell at her and blame her for upsetting him. Kelly recaps the night from her perspective, which other than, you know, slightly being weird about hesitating to go dance with Tal, she did not do anything wrong. Brenda, because she's Brenda, assumes the even worse case scenario than Steve assumed, and Kelly doesn't really have anything to say. It's all very bad. And then Brandon takes Bobby home and tries to open a dialogue in classic Brandon fashion in clip 15.
Calm down, Cassio.
So, you want to tell me what this is all about?
No, fuck off. So, why does he always have to talk like that? Like, why is he opening it up with such a hostile tone? What is clearly supposed to be a conversation about, like, why, what is wrong, you know, but Brandon is Brandon.
Well, and the thing is, like, that tone is not necessarily unwarranted, like, on the merits.
Sure.
Because Bobby is being kind of a, you know, he's being pissy.
He is, but Brandon doesn't know that.
Well, Brandon doesn't know that, and Brandon, like, this is always Brandon's opening tone with
yep.
parents, with authority figures.
So
with...
am I fired? Yes, now you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Bobby tries to explain things in clip 16.
Did Kelly say something or do something?
Kelly's great, but let's get real, Brandon. If I come out here and go to school, how's it going to work out in the long run?
I don't know. You tell me.
Well, she's not going to want to compromise. This gets old real fast. My charms wear thin after about the third or fourth date, and most girls realize that they don't want to get serious about some guy in a wheelchair. Trust me, I've been there.
Is that what Kelly said?
I saved us both the pain.
Stop trying to pin things on Kelly. He specifically let her off the hook and did not blame her for it. What is your problem,
also,
Brandon?
Also, stop. Like, how much fun is it going to be for you to date a high school girl?
Well,
like, maybe
yeah.
The problem here is that you need to date women your own age
right.
who aren't quite as shallow as you assume everyone that you have dated is in the past because they were children.
Yep.
Whoa. Thanks, Judge Judy.
So Brandon quietly brays at Bobby for a change about not giving girls enough of a chance, and Bobby gets annoyed because Brandon doesn't know what his life is like, which is actually fair in clip 17. The spread eagle.
You have no idea what I have to deal with every day. Everything in my life is an effort. That's why you're so amazing, Bobby. You make it seem so easy. Come on. No one wants to hang around with a drag.
This is an actually good point in the middle of what the rest of it was kind of annoying about Bobby, which is like, I imagine that's probably a real thing that someone would consider. And Brandon's response is exactly why, because you make it look so easy. You're not a burden to anyone. Like, this is not, it's not appropriate.
Like, thanks.
Yeah.
And yeah. And that's like your family.
Yeah.
Imagine having to have this conversation with someone who has like taken you into the friend zone because of the burden issue. Like,
right. Yeah. So the conversation goes on back and forth. Brandon obviously hero worshipped Bobby when they were younger. And then the conversation turns to the day of Bobby's accident, which, by the way, sounds like it was caused by Bobby's recklessness. And then there's it actually starts with an accidentally extremely funny clip in clip 18.
You took off, man, and it was beautiful. And I was awestruck, and then bam, right into the tree.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
I should have asked Dave to clip for a clip of the Weird Al version of George of the Jungle.
Seriously. Wow.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. I was just picturing like sports Goofy on skis when he described it that way because
yeah.
It's not great. No. Anyway, this scene goes on for a while. There's a lot of bad attempts at crying from both of the actors in it, unfortunately. As I say in my notes, this scene is endless.
Brandon brings it to this abrupt close where he's like, okay, well, things will always look better in the morning. Like, thanks, fortune cookie McGraw. But
yeah.
Like, Bobby just asked him a question of some sort, which was not, like, rhetorical.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brandon's like, okay, well, this will seem better in the daylight. Good night.
Yeah.
Fucking writers. Anyway.
He's not a good friend. And it also has to end with Brand telling Bobby how much he loves him and touching his heart, because whoever directed this episode didn't have any restraint or didn't think they could tell Jason Priestley anything, because don't do that. That's bad.
Everyone really was drunk on glycerin. It was late.
Perhaps.
Do we want another take?
No,
let's
go.
Who cares?
You're right. So Kelly shows up at the house the next day. Bobby's making another giant breakfast. And she tells him her perspective, which we'll hear in clip 19. Also, there's a boom.
We were having fun together. I like you.
As a friend, right?
Of course, as a friend. What's wrong with that?
Because I've got enough friends.
Why are you putting these expectations on me? I've only known you for 2 days. What am I supposed to do, throw myself at you?
No.
And why don't you just lighten up? I mean, it sounds to me like any girl who likes you has to make a lifelong commitment to you. I'm sorry, but I'm not ready to do that. Not after our first date.
I know. But somewhere along the line, you must have asked yourself, I mean, if you could, you know, see yourself with somebody in a wheelchair.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I did give that some thought.
And what did you come up with?
That it wasn't something I could figure out in my head. I usually try to do. And that's why what you did last night, not even giving me the benefit of the doubt, made me so mad.
Why?
Because I wasn't thinking about all that stuff. I guess I was just being led by the heart.
That's the title of the show.
Yeah, it's not a great line, but she's right. Like she met him 2 days ago. Like, pump the brakes, dude. Not okay.
As it were.
Then once they've made peace, Brenda and Brandon show up acting like they haven't been outside the doors eavesdropping, and the parents are right behind them. And they let's play clip 20. That wraps
well,
things up.
Well, all I know is, Bobby, if you're planning to make breakfast every morning, you're going to be a welcome addition to this house.
What are you talking about?
Well, you know, if you decide to go to UCLA.
Oh, Uncle Jim, no offense, but if I do go to UCLA, I'm not going to be staying here.
Thank you.
I'm going to live in a dorm or, you know, live in my own apartment. That's one of the main reasons why I wanted to transfer out here, is to get out on my own.
Yeah, seriously, Dad, who'd want to live here anyway?
You, I hope.
So.
So bad. Bow, bow, bow. It's another, has the cadence of a joke, not actually a joke. Classic 90210.
It's so true that it's like, it's delivered like a joke.
Yep.
But then when you, and you're like, you know it's not funny, but then you're like, why?
What even was that?
What is it about
that?
This moment that is missing? yes. Sense. Humor.
Yes. So then it's after breakfast, it's going to be time for Bobby to go to the airport soon. He can do whatever he wants. And then obviously, as we mentioned above, he asks Brenda to actually drive him. Kelly is going to come along for the ride. And in the car, we get our final clip.
Bye, Bobby. Give us a call when you get in.
Have a nice flight. Be sure to ride.
Here.
Thanks.
Give me a call when you get into town.
Definitely. I'm going to need a friend out here.
You've got one.
Can I tell you where that music's from?
Yes.
It's from a margarine commercial about targeted to people who are going to have a heart attack if they keep on eating butter. And it's they're fishing on the edge of a pond somewhere in Vermont.
Mm.
While eating a muffin with 2 inches of country crack on it. Yes. So it's like you might as well just put butter if you're going to use that much margarine.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, what we missed in Dave talking over the end of that clip was Kelly saying he has a friend, but we all know, let's all say it together,
they never saw him again.
Never, even though he's a cousin. And that's Leading from the Heart. Sarah, final thoughts?
No, not really.
Basically, everything everyone does in this episode, if you ever meet a person who happens to use a wheelchair, don't do any of the things that they did or say any of the things that they did. And if you're about to say something you're not sure if it's okay to say, don't say it. Most valuable player.
It's me for not saying, hey, does your dick work?
Dick. Except the thing is, so you just... did say it.
Oh. Least valuable player, Dave.
Least valuable player, Bobby's dick.
Okay. Sarah, who's your actual most valuable player?
Oh, jeez.
Out with it, Sarah. Everybody wants to know.
I'm actually going to go with David Silver or Brian Austin Green for making the quintessential woodcut of it in the dictionary derp face.
He does. It's in the visual aids. Please go enjoy it because it's wonderful.
He has it in the corner of his mouth. It's it's fantastic. God bless you, sir.
I'm going to give MVP to Kelly, despite the stupid things that she says on the couch, because mostly I think she's right, and she tells Bobby some shit that Brenda is too busy protecting him to say and that he needed to
and
hear.
And she looks cute throughout the episode as well.
She absolutely does. Agree. Least valuable player, Brandon.
Oh, yeah. Brandon.
For hero worshipping Bobby so much that he made him think he had to take reckless risks on the skis and end up paraplegic.
Yeah. Honorable mention to whoever broke the into the tree line. Which is just so cartoonish. You imagine him like flying into the branches and then like sliding down the tree.
Oh my God, you're so right.
And by you, I mean me. And I can't stop laughing. I'm sorry. It's horrible.
I'm going to say we can skip the Kim challenge again because Dylan is in like a scene. So moving on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, next time everyone learns a very valuable lesson about not living in the valley when Andrea almost gets left holding the gefilte fish. You can see visual aids from this episode, that episode, and many other episodes of many other shows at previously.tv. You can also follow us at previously.tv. You can follow Tara at Tara Ariano, Dave at Glark, and I'm at Tomato Nation. See you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoni.